Welcome to another episode of Mainlining Movies, everybody. This one is an exciting one. But first, last time on Mainlining Movies, the traditional episode, I said that there was only one in my best and favorite vampire film, 30 Days of Night. I redact that. My favorite vampire film of all time is What We Do in the Shadows. Go look, go watch, go see now. You like Thor Ragnarok? Taika Waititi did that. He also did What We Do in the Shadows. Go watch now. Pause this episode, but come back. Don't forget about us.
So, we've got another episode lined intriguing. Up, you guys.
We've got another episode lined up, and here we are.
Here we are again.
Back. Welcome back, man.
I'm glad to be here. Back.
Feels good. Last week we had an early episode because, things happened. I died of the second COVID shot. And so we didn't get one out, a traditional one out that week that I got the COVID shot. So we did it a couple of days later, I believe on a Tuesday or a Monday?
It was a Monday or Tuesday.
It was a Monday, yeah. Know.
All my days run together now.
Yeah, same. So like that being in the middle was like our compromise. Like, well, we didn't get one last week. So the one for this week is going to be a little early. So that was our gift to you. It was a really bad gift.
But I thought it was a great gift.
Could you imagine, right? Somebody sits there, and when's your birthday? What, November?
My birthday's in January.
Okay. Perfect, right?
Wow.
No. That's the point I'm trying to make here, right? So somebody gives you a gift. It's like, when's your birthday? November. And they give you a gift in November, right? And like, just an early birthday gift. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, cool, like, I appreciate that. But, like, most people would still get me at least one thing to open up on my birthday, and they just don't. Terrible gift. Terrible gift. Anyway, I'm going to say welcome again. I think I've said welcome a lot. I've said it again. Hello, everybody. This is another exciting episode of Mainlining Movies because we got a little something special in mind. And I've got a pretty fun and big announcement that we'll get to at the end of the show. But let's go ahead and get into this. Nathan, do you know what we're doing this week?
I never know what we're doing.
Fantastic. So that means he's very ill-prepared, which is great for me because I came prepared.
I'm always ill-prepared. It's
good.
It's my middle name.
Nathan, ill-prepared last name, because we don't give away last names here.
Okay, that actually last name is my last name. I thought you knew that.
Nathan ill-prepared Duracell battery. That's your full name now.
Wow, you know, you're dropping a lot of. Last week we mentioned Pepsi. I just did it again. This week you're mentioning Duracell batteries. We can't keep saying these things. We're going to get in trouble.
I wonder what I'm going to mention next week.
I don't know. It's hard telling.
Ew, man. I'm just going to make it. I'm going to make it a point to mention a product every week now. Every week, I'm going to make it a point to mention a product.
Okay.
Like, you 3 know, weeks from now, I'll be sitting there like, this week's episode is brought to you by the 40th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back Kenner Star Wars figures. Like, just because,
you know, it would be very fitting if we get sponsored by Nathan's Hot Dogs.
It would, yeah. And we can't get sponsored by anything that really Bryant Heating and Air.
There you go. There you go.
There sponsor you go. Us, please. I'm pretty sure we're related somehow.
Look please. At you. Look at you begging for money.
Please.
You got a job.
Give me money.
I don't know what's happening this episode, guys. We are
so yeah. We haven't even got. We're 6 minutes in, and we haven't even got to like what's going. We're not 6 minutes in. We're 4 minutes in. I don't know where I got 6 minutes from.
So we're in a very weird mood tonight because, one, we've been up all day. We had to work early. We've been up all day, but I'm in an especially good mood because after tomorrow, which we Thursday of this week, I am on vacation and I don't have to work for 9 days. So I will be on the beach in Florida with my beautiful wife and children, and we will be relaxing in the sun while Hayden is slaving away at our local grocery store job.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Hayden.
It's okay. I'll be in Florida in December. Yeah. I'll be going to Galaxy's Edge.
December. December is not next week.
No.
So I still win.
It's like 7 months away.
I'm just kidding. This is not a competition. But if it was, but it's not.
If it was a competition, I've got like 6 Witcher Pop figures, so I think I win.
Okay. Okay.
Also, I concede. Star Wars figures.
I concede. Hey, should we tell people what we're doing this episode?
Yeah, we probably should. So this week's just rambling episode on. Is exciting because
I'm excited.
I'm very excited. So this week's episode, we decided to do something a little different, and I really, really wanted everybody to hear Nathan's rant, which we will get to later. Yeah. So I think he knows where this is going, since he doesn't know what we're doing this week. This week we are going to be counting down. In a very small manner, we're going to be talking about subverting expectations. That's right. You might have guessed it. We're going to be talking about 3 movies apiece. 3 for me, 3 for Nathan, that were better than the trailer made them out to be.
Or worse than the trailer made them out to
be. And 3 movies that are worse than the trailer made them out to be. So I've got 3 movies that I think were better than the trailer. Nathan's got 3 movies that he thinks are better than the trailer. I've got 3 movies that I know for a fact were worse than the trailer. And Nathan's got 3 movies that he knows for an absolute fact were worse than the trailer. And we've got a couple of honorable mentions.
Yes, we do.
And I think we should start by saying they are honorable mentions because we both had them. And it's like, well, if we both have them, then our lists are really small. So yes. We'll set those aside and we'll talk about those separately near the end because there's going to be a giant, massive rant. Some heads are going to explode. Some fists are going to fly. Some TVs are going to be broken. Some glasses are going to shatter. It's going to be a whole ordeal, but it's going to be worth it, I promise.
It's very possible. When we get to one specific movie, and I'm going to save it, but I go crazy about this movie all the time.
Listen, we side tangent, side stories. We got a quickie. Hey, I got an idea for next week. Anyway, so side story. We may or may not have gotten in trouble at work because we were talking about that movie very, very aggressively loud. So you know what you're in for now. Anyhow, let's get into it. We'll just do
You want to do the worst?
Forth. Yeah.
You want to do the worst first?
Yeah, sure. So, Nathan, go ahead. Give me a movie. Give me one movie that was worse than the trailer.
Okay. So, the first movie that I'm going with is a movie from 2004 starring Julianne Moore called The Forgotten. Now, the reason that I have this movie on my list is because while I want to be clear that just because we have these movies that on our list that were letdowns compared to the trailer doesn't necessarily mean that we hated the movies. It's just that they were let down compared to what the trailers portrayed them to be. And so the movie The Forgotten from 2004, this movie, while it's not a horrible movie, It was very much a letdown in the sense that it's very anticlimactic. And by that, I just mean the ending, it was just very, very kind of plain and simple, and it wasn't complex. So kind of the premise of the movie is all these people, they get together and they realize that their children are missing, but nobody else believes that their children are missing, according to you know, everybody else. These children never existed. They've never, which it's a very cool concept, very it's very kind of on, you know, you're on the edge of your seat, like trying to figure out what's going on. And Julianne Moore starts a mom who just absolutely refuses to believe what everybody's telling her, that she never had a child, the child doesn't exist. And she meets a man who is in the same boat. And, you know, so they kind of join forces trying to figure out what exactly is going on. And at the end, I'll go ahead and spoil it, but at the end, you find out that it was really just aliens running an experiment to see if they could basically erase humans' memories. And it was just kind of a letdown in the sense that, I don't know, you just kind of expected it. It built it up to be this really, like, mystery, drama, like, exciting. And it really, there's a lot of, you know, nail-biting moments in this movie. And I just felt like the ending kind of let it down. And so that's why this movie is on the list. I would say, you know, you can still watch it. It's not a horrible movie. It's just, it kind of let me down. And that's why I put it on the list. Your turn.
Yeah, so I would like to take a quick little side tangent really quickly here. Are all of your movies simply on here because of the ending? Because, you know, we could just always do an episode where it's like the top 20 worst movie endings of all time.
Well, we could.
And what qualifies them to be on the list is it has to be a good movie until the end.
Well, if that's the case, then the movie that we're going to talk about here later would be number one on that list.
Yeah, but no. I've got some words for my movies.
No, there is, I will say, two of the movies I have on my list are not necessarily because of the ending. One is because of the ending. One is because of the story arc, which I'll get to in a minute. But one movie, and that's going to be the last one I mention for the worst, I absolutely hate it. However, it does have some sentimental value, and I will explain whenever we get to that point. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so my turn. Okay, cool. The first movie that I'm going to talk about that was just worse than the trailer. The trailer made it seem like it was going to be really cool, especially when the first one was so good. Wow, now we need to do a series where it's like the top 10 worst sequels of all time. Man, we got so many things to just crank out, man. Ideas, everybody! But this movie is actually very recent. The first one was really, really, really good. That movie actually subverted my expectations in a good way, although it's not on my list. And the movie was actually better than the trailer because they have not had a good track record until this point. This particular movie comes out, and it was great. And then I'm excited for the second one. And they released the second one's trailer. And the movie comes out, and it is... I don't want to say trash, but it's very, very, very disappointing. And that is Wonder Woman 84. Now, have you seen this movie, Nathan?
I have not. I haven't seen it yet.
So, I would love to start with everything that's wrong with this movie. I would love to. But let me start with everything that's right about this movie. Gal Gadot's back.
Is that it?
They kind of quantum leap Chris Pine's Steve Trevor back.
Chris Pine, I like Chris Pine. That's not so bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very quantum leap-esque situation, how he comes back. But then you find out, like, exactly how he came back, and you're like, that's really stupid. And Pedro Pascal, fantastic. Fantastic in this movie. He carried this movie on his back, just like he does the Star Wars franchise today. And I'm surprised this man is not a cripple with all the back problems he must have from carrying these franchises. But outlining just a little bit of the bad stuff, just a little bit. The CGI for Cheetah was awful. Kristen Wiig was a terrible casting choice for Cheetah. The plot was stupid. How they brought Steve Trevor back once you realize it wasn't a quantum leap, stupid. The motivations of Pedro Pascal's character, stupid. The storyline, awful. The entire thing felt completely rushed. And you thought you were going to get a really good sequel because up until Wonder Woman, the first one, DC did not have a great track record. Now,
very true. And I really enjoyed the first movie.
Yeah. Wonder Woman was great. And up until Wonder Woman, DC didn't have a good track record, except they didn't have a good ratings track record. A lot of people loved it. A good critical response, critical reception. I loved Man of Steel. I loved Suicide Squad. But the first Wonder Woman was so good. It was like in a whole other league. It was a league of its own. So when they announce Wonder Woman the sequel that takes place in 1984, and you're like, cool, we get to move away from the glumness of World War One in the 1910s. And we get to go to the 80s where everything's neon and glowing and colorful. And then you're stuck with a pile of doo-doo that looks like it was trying really hard to be a television show on the CW at first, but it also looks like a really bad Hallmark movie. I did not understand what was going on. The trailer made it seem a lot darker and cooler than it was going to be, and I watched it. It's not a bad film, but comparatively to the first Wonder Woman and even Shazam and Suicide Squad, it is really bad.
See, and I've talked to other people who have seen the movie, and they said it was kind of mixed reviews I've gotten from people. So, like I said, I haven't personally seen the film. But now, I will say, though, that Wonder Woman saved Batman versus Superman.
Yes,
so,
she did.
So, you know, she started out with a great track record. And, and you're right, the first one was amazing. It's sad that they had to go and ruin it.
I'll probably
give it a watch. Just
listen. The movie starts off in Mall of America. I'm going to spoil that for you right now. You tell me, within the first few minutes of that film, you're not watching a Hallmark movie.
All right.
It's so bad. I will
text you while I'm watching it.
It's so bad.
I will take your word for it.
All right, so let's go on to your second one that just subverted your expectations in the worst possible way.
Okay. So, another film that is a shame because the first two, this time there's two, in my opinion, were really good and a lot of fun and helped a lot of people fall in love with certain characters again. The third one left a little bit to be desired, and a lot of it had to do with the story arc. And that movie is from 2006, X-Men: The Last Stand. And the reason I say this is because they completely ruined the story arc where, you know, Jean Grey becomes the Dark Phoenix, and then she's kind of a... They almost make her out to be like a bad guy, which I get that, you know, she kind of had no control when she became the Dark Phoenix. Now, I will say that when they did Days of Future Past, which was the next movie,
Wait, I thought that was First Class.
Well, First Class was the next movie, but in the timeline.
The Dark Phoenix timeline.
In the Dark Phoenix timeline.
Okay.
They did Days of Future Past, which kind of went back and fix some things, which helps me forgive this movie a little bit. And
it
helps
it cope.
Yeah, it helps me cope. But I was a little disappointed with the way they did it, because you kind of get this build up, and I kind of like what you're saying with Wonder Woman. I just feel like it was rushed. Like they needed to get a third movie out, and they needed to move the storyline. The problem is they knew, you know, these other movies, they had to be in the works. So they knew they were going to do First Class, and they knew they were probably going to do Days of Future Past. So maybe that's why they went ahead and rushed it, because they knew they were going to fix it.
Yeah, can we talk about this for a second? They were competing with themselves at this rate.
Yes.
Like at this particular point in time, 20th Century Fox, which we're not allowed to call 20th Century Fox anymore ever since it was bought out by Disney, but they were competing with themselves at this point, because they're a Marvel property that is competing with other Marvel movies. You just had Batman Begins the year before. You have Spider-Man 3 that's been announced and had a trailer already coming out the following year. So Marvel at this rate, without being one giant company under one umbrella, was competing with themselves. And so 20th Century Fox was like, we got to crank these bad boys out. And yeah. That's why I feel like it really did feel rushed.
Yeah, you're right. So and that's the problem with getting all these movies. And that's what one thing, and we'll get to this later when we talk about Marvel movies, but when we got to the MCU, they took their time. Now, mm-hmm. You know, we can talk about Iron Man 2 later on when we get to that. but still they took their time. They built these characters, they developed the story. It wasn't rushed. They weren't competing with anything, because at the time there was nothing else even remotely close. And, you know, really the ball was kind of thrown in DC's court when Marvel came out with all these movies, because DC was like, Marvel is destroying us. We got to try something.
They literally said, we have Batman. That was that.
Right. And now, DC did some things right with Suicide Squad and, with Wonder Woman. And Batman versus Superman isn't the worst movie I've ever seen. But, yeah, so they felt like they needed to compete. They felt like – but Marvel, when they did these other movies, they weren't rushed at all. Because they were the top dog. Nobody was going to knock them off. Nobody was going to, change what they were doing. Nobody was going to rush them. They had their plan. They still have their plan. They're still following it, and it's working beautifully. So, yeah, at this time with X-Men, it was rushed. They pushed the story arc way too soon, and it really kind of made it dark after the first two films. While kind of had some dark moments, it was still very lighthearted with, there was still a lot of comedic relief and things like that. And, this movie was a little darker, and they pushed it in a direction that it shouldn't have gone. So that is why this movie is on my list. So, go ahead.
Also, so you're talking about Marvel movies, and the fact that this one was rushed. I'd like to side tangent for just a moment. And for everyone that's thinking to themselves, well, we get Marvel movies every year, and Tom Holland's Spider-Man is going to have his third movie in like 4 years or 5 years. Yeah. And you're probably wondering, that's like one a year. When you count the fact that the first one came out in 2017, we are now in 2021, and his third movie comes out later this year. Fun fact for everybody, Marvel gets all their casting, script writing, storyboards, and CGI done 3 years in advance. So all of the CGI, I don't know if you guys know this, you can watch it. It's a whole special feature on, I believe, Endgame that you can watch, because like Endgame was kind of like the culmination of the last, decade of Marvel. But they get all their CGI and script writing and storyboarding and everything done 3 years in advance. So when the actors film, that's all they're doing is just filming for like 6 months. And then they take all that film, they splice it together, chop out this, chop out that, and put everything where it's supposed to go. Pump out some trailers, do some test screenings, fix this or that. Have somebody come in, do a score for the film while they watch the film, and that's it. That's how they can crank these movies out so fast, because they take their time, They plan. Everything's done years in advance. So if there's any changes that need to be made, they can be made right then and there. No one's got to worry about it. Nothing's really rushed. There's no reshoots, hardly. They get everything done so far. Like, again, you can watch this. It's on the special features. They had the CG for Infinity War and Endgame done in 2016 and 2017, respectively.
It's really pretty amazing. They are the Chick-fil-A of movie making.
Yeah, especially when you think about the fact that, and someone can 100% fact check me on this, 100%. So remember how in Guardians of the Galaxy, which came out in 2014, Thanos was like really blue. And then remember at the end of Age of Ultron, which came out in 2015, he was really, really purple. And he looked very comic booky in both of those, but his appearance did change. That's because the CGI for those were done in 2011 and 2012. They already knew where they were going. They had this huge plan. They didn't have an actor yet. Now you're probably wondering, well, the CG was done for Infinity War and Endgame in 2016, 2017. But we didn't get Josh Brolin announced until this specific time. Yeah, because they do everything that far in advance. Just something to think about next time you think that they're just pumping out these movies with reckless abandon and they're not putting any effort into them, which is really going to dampen what I say next.
It's okay. Go ahead.
So it is my turn. And we're headed to the MCU for this one. Wow, man, I think I should change this now. Nope.
Don't change it. Just
I'm not. I'm this, doing it.
This was our list. This was our script. Do it.
We did this 3 years in advance. I got to do it. I got to stick with it. So another movie that I feel was worse than the trailer. Captain Marvel. Now, I know what you're thinking, Hayden, what are you talking about? It's an MCU. You just said that like they do all the stuff in advance. They do all the plan. Yeah. Here's my problem with Captain Marvel. The trailer made it seem like it was going to be great. And trust me, the movie itself is good. It is a good movie. Held together by Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn as Talos, and Nat Cat. And that's it.
Hey, Brie Larson is the best thing to happen to the MCU.
And mainlining movies is over. We're going to do that episode again. So, okay. Now, I will say this, though. Before doing Captain Marvel, Brie Larson was actually, like, really good. Everything that I saw her in, I loved. Kong Skull Island, she was great. She was in that with Tom Hiddleston, a.k.a. Loki, for those of you who don't know his real name. She was great in everything that she had done before Captain Marvel. The trailers made it seem like it was going to be this really awesome, extravagant movie. And again, it was. But here's just one thing that I'll point out really quickly. There's a couple of scenes where the CGI feels like it's unfinished. Again, you're probably saying, you literally just said they do all that stuff 3 years in advance. Yes. But it really looks like there's just one part in that whole film. It looks like they forgot to go back and touch it up, if that makes any sense. Which, that's just a nitpick, whatever. But back to Brie Larson being good in pretty much everything that she's in. She was great up until this point, and then out of nowhere, randomly, you get to this film, Samuel Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, and this CG cat are holding the entire thing together. Because she turned into a wooden stump. She became emotionless. And that's not who Captain Marvel is. I'm not criticizing what they chose to do in terms of writing. The writing was fine. Her delivery was just poor. Now, I will say this. It is never, ever, ever okay for people to bully an actor into doing something or becoming something that they're not. I don't know if anybody has noticed this, but Brie Larson, and it's very public information. You can go look at this, or maybe I'm just reading too much into the tabloids when it comes to Marvel. But if you guys have noticed, ever since she was getting very, very, very heavily criticized for everything that she was doing with Captain Marvel and Marvel Disney themselves, she started wearing lower cut tops so her cleavage would show more, so she could probably get the guys on her side. She also started a video gaming thing so she can get the guys on her side. I don't think she started a video gaming thing. I think she posted a bunch of pictures of her playing video games to really like be like, hey, listen, like, I'm just like you guys, you know? And they're like, it's like they're almost really pushing her to be something that she's not, and she's trying really hard at that. And I don't think we should ever push anybody to do that. That's not okay. Kind of like how Wyatt Russell received death threats from people because they said he's not Captain America, when that was never the plan or intention with the Falcon and Winter Soldier. But anyhow, other than that, I don't know what happened. I do not know what went wrong here. Mark Ruffalo should have definitely stepped in and been like, hey, what are you doing? For those of you who don't know, Mark Ruffalo was in 13 Going on 30, as was Brie Larson. She was a baby in that. Not a literal baby, she was a child, but compared to Mark Ruffalo, she was a baby. I just think that he should have been like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But I went into this movie expecting so much because of the trailer. And she's supposed to be the most powerful Marvel character, which I do not agree. I think the most powerful Avenger and Marvel character in the MCU, as it stands right now, is Scarlet Witch. I thought that even before WandaVision. So all of you WandaVision bandwagoners, step away from me. Back up. Wanda is just an incredibly powerful character. So for them to constantly be like, Captain Marvel's the most powerful, she got her power from the Infinity Stone, as did Wanda, as did Quicksilver, and he's dead, as did Vision, as did Captain America. So, anyhow, I was just really disappointed in this movie. The trailers made it look so, so cool. I was very hyped. I got night one tickets for myself and my girlfriend, and then we saw it, and I was really bummed out of just how bad her performance was. And that's that.
Tell us how you really feel, Hayden.
I'm really excited for The Marvels, which is Captain Marvel 2. Actually, people complain about Captain Marvel so much and Brie Larson herself. Captain Marvel 2's title was changed from Captain Marvel 2 to The Marvels. Just so everybody knows that. Miss Marvel's going to be in this film. That was always the plan. And I think the girl that they have to play Miss Marvel, number one, she's adorable. Number two, she's absolutely perfect for Kamala Khan. Perfect to play Miss Marvel. But they're really taking the spotlight away from Brie Larson and shining it on, I believe her name is Iman or Iman. I am really sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. But they're really shining it on her, which a lot of people are saying or thinking, but she's a new character. Why wouldn't you do that? Well, that movie comes out next year in the summer, and Miss Marvel slash Kamala Khan has her own TV show coming out this year. So we're already going to have an entire season, first season of Kamala before The Marvels. So that's how upset people were with Brie Larson. They've demoted her, basically. I'm not going to go that far. It was just disappointing.
All right.
I went way too long on that. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all right. It needed to be said. It's not the first time we've talked about this. Just the first time we've talked about it on here.
Yeah, I agree. It needed to be said.
All right. So we're going to move on before Hayden starts crying. And just kidding.
No,
just
I'm kidding. Going to, actually.
Anyway, so my I'm third and final
Captain
film.
Marvel comics.
Anyway, my third and final film is, now I said this film had some sentimental value, and I will explain that after I talk about the film, but this movie, I'm going to say, don't waste your time, don't watch it. I absolutely hated this movie, but it's a movie from 2013 starring Christian Bale and Casey Affleck, called Out of the Furnace. Hayden knows because I've talked about this movie before, but this movie, the trailer made it seem like it was going to be like this action-packed, high-octane thriller similar to Taken or something like that, and it is just not at all. It is dry and boring and slow and everything about it's dark. And I don't mean like the content is dark. I mean like the movie, it's shot very darkly. It's hard.
The movie
tell.
Is visually dark. I cannot
it's
see
visually
anything.
Dark. Like it's hard to tell what's going on. A lot of it's just, and I mean, it's got a good cast, you know, Christian Bale, Casey Affleck, it's a good cast. And the premise of the movie is Casey Affleck plays Christian Bale's brother. Christian Bale just got out of prison and Casey Affleck gets in with the wrong crowd. They kidnap him and, you know, Christian Bale's supposed to go save him. Trailers make it, like I say, make it seem like it's going to be this high octane thing. It's just not. It's not. The really only high speed scene is kind of when they're kidnapping Casey Affleck and that whole thing. That's really the only. It's just not good. Not good. Now, the reason this movie has sentimental value is because this movie happens to be my wife and I's first date. This is the first movie we ever went and seen together after a wonderful dinner at Texas Roadhouse. Yes, my wife is not so much of a girly girl. She enjoys eating. And, you know, she's not afraid of that. And I wore a Goonies t-shirt. And she commented on it because she loves the Goonies as much as I do. Maybe more. I don't know if that's possible. But anyway, so yes, this was my wife and I's first date. And I joke all the time that, you know, I took her to see this god-awful movie. And I don't know why she ever went on a second date with me. But, you know, here we are.
It was the Goonies shirt.
It was the Goonies shirt. I didn't have the beard at the time, so it wasn't the beard. I had a goatee that she now talks about and makes fun of me for. She's actually the reason I grew the beard. That's a whole other story.
I just can't see you without the beard, man. I'm sorry.
Well, I still had facial hair. It just wasn't a full beard. Like, it was just, it was probably just as long, but it was just a goatee. If that makes sense, picture that, you'll get it.
So you had anyway, a scraggly long goatee about the length of your beard now without anything else. You're you're like the guy that Adam Sandler made fun of in the movie.
Oh my God. That's exactly what she said. Brian.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's exactly
I'm just
going to
start calling
said.
You Brian.
I am. She's going to get a kick out of it whenever she listens to this episode. Cause she does. She says that to me all the time. Anyway, but here we are 8 years later, even though I took her to see this horrible movie, 8 years, 3 kids, almost 5 years of marriage. I guess, you know, it wasn't, you know, the worst thing in the world, but the movie is really bad. Don't watch it. Do watch it if you want to believe, you know, find out if I'm lying. I don't care. But I highly, highly do not recommend this movie. So, yeah, that is out of the furnace. And I will stop before I get angry because I have to save my anger for later on.
Yeah, so speaking of getting angry about things, I'm just going to go out and say it. Phoenix Forgotten is my number 3/ my number 1 because this is the most awful. This is the movie that was 100% worse than the trailer in every possible way. So, long story short, Phoenix Forgotten is a found footage alien film, and the trailers made it seem like the entire film was going to be the, quote, found footage that they found of these kids that were in search of the aliens over Phoenix, you know, the Phoenix Lights, and it wasn't. There was about, in some, the movie is only like an hour and a half, and there's about 25 minutes total of the actual found footage where they're searching for the aliens, and absolutely nothing happens besides they just disappear. The rest of the movie is the brother who goes missing, his younger, way younger sister in modern times, who somehow just now, like in her 20s or 30s or whatever, just really young, searching for him and what happened to him. That's it. The trailer, though, like I said, I'm going to get furious. So I'm just going to leave it at this. The trailer promised me a found footage alien film about these kids who either A, get abducted by aliens, or B, we capture some really creepy crap on camera. And it's going to make a really spooktacular Paranormal Activity 3/1 version of Aliens. Because everybody knows it's the two best Paranormal Activity films, the one that started it all, and the third one, because the third one's just amazing. But I can't. I can't do it. That's it. You know what? Do yourself an aneurysm that you're going to receive after viewing this film. Do yourself an aneurysm. Watch the trailer. Tell me what you think. Watch the film and be angry, just like me. It's terrible. The marketing was awful. They kept marketing the same trailer. I'm like, yeah, this looks so good. And then it was trash. Just do it. Just do it. Do yourself the soft, not the solid. Do yourself the soft.
That's a good reference. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. Do it.
So that's, do you want to go ahead and talk about the two that we both had on the list, or do you want to move on to the best, or the ones that were better than the trailer?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do better than the trailer. Just so everybody knows, I record this stuff, like we do all this stuff on our cellular devices, and I'm getting real low. So we're not going to rush this, I promise. We are going to try and be speedy. So, Nathan, what's one movie that subverted your expectations in terms of it was better than the trailer?
Okay, so the first movie I'm going to talk about is the first Underworld from 2003, starring Kate Beckinsale. Now, the reason this movie, I think, was better than the trailer is because I think when they released the trailer, they kind of made it seem like it was going to be this Blade-esque type movie. And in some ways, it kind of was. It had that kind of dark, choppy, for lack of a better term, feel to it. But it was so much better than what the trailer actually made it out to be. It had a great storyline. It had a really good cast, and I thought it was very well shot. And obviously they made what, 3 or 4 other movies.
Yeah. Based off of it. There was also one that was like a prequel without her. And they brought her back for the next one is
right. When they did, well, they did Rise of the Lycans, and then they did, I don't remember if there was actually like a prequel Underworld, but I know, cause Rise of the Lycans kind of showed how the Lycans and the vampires got into the feud in the first place. But anyway, so yeah, this movie, I did not see this movie in theaters. I waited till it was on DVD. That's how long ago it's been. But I typically do not buy movies before I've seen them, because I don't want to waste my money. So this one I did, because I thought the trailers made it look really cool, and I had a feeling about it, but absolutely, you know, exceeded my expectations, because like I said, I really thought it was going to be just kind of a copycat of Blade, and I really enjoy the Blade movie, so I didn't want just a female version of Blade. I wanted, you know, a really cool vampire movie, and the vampires are not the same. The character is not the same, because she's not just, you know, half vampire. She's full on vampire. But it's just this, it's really cool, really dark, really fun film. And not trying to rush it, but I really don't know what else I can say about it. It, you know, because it's an older movie. I'm sure that for all of the people who listen to the show, that you've seen that movie by now. So I'm not gonna waste my time giving it all away, but. But that's the first one on my list for better than the trailer.
It's just weird because, like, somebody quite younger than us could see that movie and be like, how did this subvert your expectations, right? Or like, how is this better than the trailer? Well, child, You didn't watch the trailer. You weren't there when the hype was real. You weren't there during the reveal and the teaser and the TV spots. You just have access to everything nowadays. You could just watch it and be like, that was good.
Yeah.
You don't have that expectation building like you do with these modern Star Wars or Marvel films or horror films, which leads me into mine. Hi. So a movie that actually was better than the trailer, per se. My first one here, which is, you know, my number three. I'm going from, you know, three to one, obviously, is actually a fairly recent film. It Chapter Two. Now, here's the thing. Let me explain just really quickly. I'll be fast, I promise. Nathan's got a big rant he's got to get on. So, It Chapter Two. It Chapter One was phenomenal. Really good. And I knew for a fact it'd be hard to follow that up. It always is. Especially when it comes to horror films and comedy films. Which, coincidentally, horror and comedy go hand in hand. Hey, go watch our, horror comedy episode. Anyhow. So, the thing is, as well with the fact that sequels are always hard to match the first ones when they're just that good, everybody knows the second half of the It storyline is never as scary. Ever. When they're adults, it's never as scary. But this was really, really good. It subverted my expectations to the point where I actually think It Chapter 2 is better than Chapter 1. There's just something about it. There's a lot more creepiness to it. I saw that first trailer and I was like, yeah, this looks good. It really does, but they're putting all the best parts in the trailer. Like they always do, especially with horror movie sequels, because it's not going to be as good as the first one. And I was blown away. There's just so much more to that movie that is actually, it's pretty long than you'd think, just based on the trailers. And it sounds bad when I'm saying it, but I promise you it's such a good thing. The trailers kept using like the same like five or six scenes just in different orders with different music and different like chapter two, like, you know, narration. But you see, so you'd think like, oh, wow, that's really all they got, huh? No, they hit everything. It's so good. I saw the trailer for that and I was like, it's not going to be anywhere near as good as, you know, the first one. But I'm going to go see it because I'm that kind of guy. And I was blown away. I actually think It Chapter 2 is better than It Chapter 1.
There, you said it. It's out Boom. There. You can't take it back.
Hot takes.
I have to be honest. I have not seen the newer It movies. Seen the original. Really? I haven't. Yeah.
Would you agree that the original, the back half sucks? Because the original was actually a miniseries.
Right. Right. Now I will say yes. The adult part of that is definitely less scary than the first half of it. And there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes with it. But I remember being pretty scared, you know, just watching that's been years ago. I was a kid whenever I seen it. So it certainly the being the kid and watching this movie about kids who are, terrorized by it, definitely makes it a lot scarier than the adult, because you're not in that situation, so it's at least not in the moment. Maybe now that I'm an adult looking at it, it might be a little scarier. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it. It's been years since I've actually watched the movie, but I've meant to watch the remake. I heard so many mixed reviews that I kind of wanted to wait until everything died down about it and then, you know, check it out for myself. And now it's been, you know, what, 2 or 3 years now since they...
Yeah, I think the first one was 2017.
Yeah, so we're going on 4 years, depending on when it was released.
Yeah, it's September.
So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, It's kind of like the laundry. Like, I meant to fold it, but I, you know, it's still sitting there in the basket. I'm full of analogies tonight. Not good ones, but full
analogy
of analogy,
man. That's his superpower.
Worst comic book character ever.
Analogy, man. Speaking of comic book characters, I really need to watch Invincible. I've heard great things about it. I've been very, very interested in it. The problem is, like, I personally don't have Amazon Prime / Amazon Video. My girlfriend does, and we've been watching other things. We just watch all of Clarence together, all of Star versus the Forces of Evil. She's finishing Arrow, so I watch that with her. You know, we got a lot of stuff that we're watching, but I've been meaning to watch Invincible.
Got to do what she wants.
Yeah, yeah. You know, got to keep her happy, man. So you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. So number two on my list is a movie from 2012 starring Daniel Day-Lewis and Sally Field. And it's a movie called Lincoln. Now, you're thinking, how could this movie possibly be better than the trailer? So this movie, I don't think there was a trailer they could have made without showing the entire thing that just showed how amazing Daniel Day-Lewis truly is. If you didn't know that you were sitting in a movie theater watching this movie, you would swear you were watching Abraham Lincoln live as it happened. You know, just watching history take place in front of your eyes. His delivery, his performance, his everything about this movie is amazing. And they really focused. I don't think the trailer really gave it away what they were really wanting to do with the movie. The movie focuses on the passing of the 13th Amendment, I believe, which, you know, freed the slaves. Mm-hmm. Very powerful movie, very important time in our history. And it's just Daniel Day-Lewis is amazing as an actor. And I actually just recently got Hayden to watch a movie that he'd never seen starring Daniel Day-Lewis called Gangs of New York. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Bill the Butcher. Daniel Day-Lewis is Bill the Butcher. One of the most terrifying performances of all time.
Which, if you guys listened to last week's episode, you'd know that he was going to bring it for me to watch. So, not to put you guys on blast or anything, but listen to our show.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And anyway, but this isn't about Gangs of New York, although that's a great movie. Watch it if you haven't seen it. But yeah, this everything about his performance, everything about the movie is just it was captured beautifully, and even the supporting cast, you know, everybody from obviously Sally Field, I mean, kind of a legendary actress who obviously plays Mrs. Lincoln, and just everything about this movie. If you haven't seen it because you think, oh, you know, it's a history film, it's boring, but I promise you, it's not boring, and it will be everything you want from a movie and more. So check it out. That's why it's on the list. So what's your number two?
So my number two is a petty number two. Spider-Man Homecoming for me was much better than the trailer made it out to be. I am a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man purist. He is the best Spider-Man that there has been and that there ever will be. Nothing will ever compare to Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. Those movies were just absolute gold. Every single one of them is a 10 out of 10. If you don't think Spider-Man 3 is a 10 out of 10, you should probably just stop listening to the show because I don't want you as my audience member anyway. And I could not stand the Andrew Garfield ones. And even though I had seen him in Civil War, I was still very unsure of Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Very, very unsure. And I was very unsure how they were going to do a solo film. And then you see the trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming. He's still in school. That's fine. Homecoming. They didn't really touch on why it was called that. And you're thinking, is this whole thing really about a dance and taking a girl to a dance? It was. And then you see the Vulture and you're like, wow, I really don't like his design. Why am I watching this movie? Like, why am I going to go watch this film? But my girlfriend absolutely loved Tom Holland as Spider-Man in Civil War, and she was very interested in seeing it, especially because Michael Keaton was in it playing Adrian Toomes, the Vulture. So I got us tickets to go see it first night, opening night at midnight, and the way that they did the suit for the Vulture, it made sense. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, I'll give him that. All right, cool. And then when you take into account the fact that Peter literally is a high school student, he's just a kid, like, you're going to worry about who you're taking to homecoming. And the movie's central plot focused on homecoming. And then you find out, spoiler alert, the girl he wants to take to homecoming, her dad is the Vulture. And you're like, okay, so that's why they called it homecoming. And it just kept building on that. And it just kept building on everything that the trailer showed me that I was like, I'm not seeing it. I don't really care. But it just kept building on that and hammering that in until you fell in love with the film. And it was really good. I had a blast. And Stan Lee's cameo was amazing in that. I'm still a Tobey Maguire purist. He's still the best Spider-Man. No one will ever compare. But Spider-Man Homecoming was much better than the trailers made it seem to be for me.
Do you feel confident in that?
I do. I do.
I don't know why I asked that. I just needed something to say, I guess.
Well, there was a long pause, and he was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. So, moving from Spider-Man, who is certainly top five greatest superheroes of all time. He's up there. He's way up there. We're going to move on to a different kind of hero. Technically, I guess superheroes, but not Marvel, not DC, kind of its own entity.
Ooh.
I've got you. Got you on the edge of your seat, don't I?
Yeah.
So my number one movie that exceeded my expectations, because now I'll say it exceeded my expectations because I was expecting a lot out of this. Based on the trailer, I didn't think I was going to get what I wanted from this movie, but I actually did get more. Movie from 2014. The Michael Bay take on the Ninja Turtles. Now, for anybody who knows me, I am a huge Ninja Turtle fan. Love the original.
I think Ninja Turtles are DC. They always have those DC crossovers with Batman and stuff.
Well, that's true. But I it's still kind of, it's not, I don't know.
Not your traditional DC in the Justice League universe.
They did have some crossovers. I don't know that the DC has the rights. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
no, I'll have to look into that for sure. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
I want to throw that out there. For anybody that says anything, I want to throw it out there before they said anything to us.
Hey, that's what we do. You know, we correct each other. We're having conversation. That's what this podcast is all about.
Exactly.
So, one of the biggest things that I was worried about was, you know, there was all this talk about the way that the turtles were going to look, that they were more like alien-like, and there was actually even some talk that that was going to be the whole backstory, was that they were aliens. I don't know if you remember that or not, but very early on, before they ever really released anything about the movie, there was talk that that's what Michael Bay was going to do. And I was super disappointed in hearing that, but it was Ninja Turtles. I was willing to give it a chance. And even after the trailer, like, they kind of revealed what the Ninja Turtles were going to look like, I was like, all right, it's a little bit different, but, you know, we'll still give it a try. Absolutely blown away by this movie. Michael Bay is, he's really kind of amazing at what he produces. Obviously, you know, he's done a lot of things, but Ninja Turtles definitely was up there, and even Out of the Shadows when they did the sequel, I thought was really good. But they changed the way the turtles looked and everything a little bit, but they really kept the turtles true to their character. They kept them true to who they were. The backstory was a little bit different, but it was fine. It was just really kind of an interesting take on it, in my opinion. Excuse me. And I thought it was very well done, and I very, very much enjoyed the film. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing? Go check it out. It's from 2014. You waited 7 years. It's long enough to get over your fear of seeing Michael Bay's version of Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Do it. Go see
it. Person out there with an irrational fear of Michael Bay. Ninja Turtles. Yeah, of Michael Bay's explosions.
I don't know. Go see a therapist, because that's an irrational fear.
That is a very irrational fear, actually. Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Calm before the Nathan rant storm. I've got one movie left. He's got a rant to go on. Let's not forget, we do have a couple of honorable mentions. So my number one film of all time that subverted my expectations in the best possible way possible, where it was so much better than the trailer made it out to be, is a little horror movie that you might have heard of that I talk about a heck of a lot. And that movie is called Hereditary. So let me just start by saying this. Hereditary was a film that as soon as I saw the trailer for it, I was like, oh, great. Another really crappy horror film that's about the paranormal that my stupid generation is going to go see because they love all these crappy horror films. And all they do, 93, Michael Myers in space sleep or something. Just they my generation sees all these horror movies that are not that good at all, and then they rave about them, and I saw the trailer and I instantly knew, or at least I thought I knew, oh good, one of those, like, great. And then the movie came out and then no one talked about it. And
can I say something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I just want to, and I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to interject something to talk about your generation. If you ever notice, every single horror, I'm using air quotes here for those of you who can't see me, every single horror movie that has come out in the last, I don't know, 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years, 2011, 2010, yeah.
Has been, you know, the scariest movie ever made. And, like, they always want to show these people in the theater watching this movie just, like, you know, like, freaking out in their seats. Mm-hmm. And
those are paid actors.
Yeah, it's never anything like that.
No. And if you've noticed, though, all those movies that are like, it's the scariest movie ever made, all PG-13.
Yeah.
All horror movies recently are PG-13.
Very
Hereditary,
true.
Though, takes a nice, juicy, chunky, fat, delicious hard R and plops it right down in your popcorn, and it makes you watch. Listen. This movie, it came out, and I was so prepared for everybody and their brother to talk about it. You know when you hear a brand new word, right? And then you start hearing it everywhere. And you're like, wait a minute, what? Because you literally just discovered this word. And you always heard it in passing. But subconsciously, you just ignored it until, like, you actually discovered it for yourself. And you learned the definition. Kind of like once you hear the word vernacular, you want to say it all the time. Now, for those of you who don't know what it means, I'll just use it in a sentence for you. I find the word vernacular to find its way into my everyday vernacular. Just a smarter way of saying vocabulary, I suppose. Anyhow, no one talked about this movie. I was preparing myself mentally. Hereditary, Hereditary, Hereditary. I'm going to hear all about it. Now, all these stupid kids my age, all these millennials and these little Gen Zers, think it's so spooky and so scary. And then I heard nothing at all about this film. I believe I've said this before. I heard nothing at all about this film, ever. And I was really confused, like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be like a terrifying film that everybody and their idiot brother of my generation is going to go see and obsess over. So I waited and I waited. It came out on Blu-ray, came out on streaming, and I watched it. And I will say the first hour is a pretty slow burn. But that pretty slow burn is filled with all these little itty-bitty tiny little things that you don't pick up on until you watch it three or four times. And other than the fact that something wild happens within the first 20 minutes of the film, the first hour is a pretty slow burn. And then it gets wild. And it doesn't stop. And without spoiling anything, because you just need to see this movie, and without spoiling our own series, I will say that this film has got two movie moments that quite possibly should be in the top five scariest movie moments of all time.
It's certainly up there.
You will have to listen to that. And that's it for me when it comes to the movies that were better than the trailers. Now, what's our takeaway from this? What did we learn from this? I'll tell you what I learned from this. If you go into a movie with low or no expectations, you're going to love it and you're going to be blown away. If you go into a movie with high expectations, I'm looking at you, Captain Marvel and Phoenix Forgotten, it's going to suck.
Yeah, I find that whenever I go into a movie, like, really, really wanting it to be, you know, this spectacular blockbuster of a film, I find that more often than not, I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed.
It's true.
So, i.e., out of the furnace.
He's never going to let it go.
I will never let it go.
So let's start with the good stuff here first. A couple honorable mentions that we had for movies that were better than our expectations. And I believe we only had one.
Yeah, we had one that was on the same on our list.
Yeah, so yeah. In that one particular movie that we had that was on our list is Solo. Now, I'll tell very quickly why I thought it was better than the trailer, and then I'll let you go. I saw the trailer for this, and I was like, yeah, it looks fun. I'm definitely going to see it because it's Star Wars. Like, I'm not going to not see it. I love Star Wars. Star Wars is my life. But Harrison Ford is Han Solo. I don't know how this kid's going to do. And, of course, you heard all the studio problems, all the developmental problems that they were having, and this and that, and script rewrites and reshoots. And you're just like, this movie's going to be filled with problems. I just know it. And then I went and saw it, like, night one for my girlfriend and I's anniversary, and I was blown away. I was like, what? It was so good. That was just me, though. Like, I heard all the rumors about everything that was going on with the writing and the directing and the reshoots, because they fired the original directors, who I believe did Jurassic World. And then I just sat there like, Han Solo is Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford is Han Solo. I don't know what this kid's got. I don't know what he can do. And then he nailed it. So what about yourself? What made Solo better than the trailer for you?
Yeah, so, well, I think a couple things. One, now I didn't see this in theaters. I'll just say that I actually watched it when it was on Netflix. I did wait a while, and a part of the reason was because, well, I had just suffered through Rogue One, which, not to spoil anything, but anyway, no, I but I was like you. You know, Harrison Ford is Han Solo, and I was worried about how. I think this was one of the movies that we were just talking about. Like, I really didn't have any expectations for it at all. Like, I wanted it to be a fun movie, and they did a good job of making it a Star Wars story, but still somehow leaving it out there on its own. And I think that's kind of why it made it a good film. I mean, I don't really have much else to add other than what you said, but yeah, that definitely. I think it's more that I went into it with no expectation, especially after the previous Star Wars story. You're gonna growl every time, aren't you? Anyway, so yeah, I don't know what else I can add to it. If you haven't seen Solo, highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
All right, so I will let you kick us off with the first one, because I'm going to go on my own rant that you're going to go on with your own big finale rant to wrap this episode up. Okay. But before I go on a big rant, special announcement, everybody. I am currently writing a book. I don't know how I'm going to publish it. I don't know if it's going to be self-published or anything like that, but I'm writing a book. It is a compilation of short stories in an original world, and they're all original tales by me. They're all going to connect in some way, shape, or form. Some will be longer than others. Some we're going to come back to. But it's a compilation of short stories. I believe there are 7 short stories, and the 8th short story is just going to be the end. And I am really excited to share this all with you guys because, again, whether it is going to be a self-publish or I'll contact somebody or I'll get in touch with somebody, I do know somebody that knows somebody. I also have a family member that knows somebody. But whether it comes to that or I just put it on an application, there's all these apps out there that you write stories on and you can publish them on there and it becomes a pay-to-read. I don't really care. I'm just excited to be doing it. Nathan's already skimmed over my notes. I believe I've sent him the first short story just to kind of read and critique and just judge me on. Everything's all in its first early stages, but I'm doing that. So yay for me. All right. Kick us off right. With this first one, because I'm going to go on a big rant.
Now that the announcements are out of the way. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm excited. I haven't read the first draft yet, but I am excited to get to read.
Thanks, man.
Your story, and look forward to maybe collaborating on some other projects down the road.
Absolutely, that'd be great.
We have talked about working on our own movie script.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just for fun, maybe we'll do that someday. Anyway, so I'm going to introduce the movie, and then I will let you go on a rant, and then you can introduce the other movie, and I will go on a rant. As you've heard us mention several times throughout this episode, followed by a very low, disapproving growl, the movie we're going to talk about and is a different Star Wars story, one that was completely unnecessary to tell us, and it definitely was worse than what the trailers made it seem to be. Just a horrible movie all around. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Rogue One.
All right, so this movie's straight up trash. Okay, there's one redeeming quality about this movie, and it's not even a redeeming quality about this movie. All right, the last 2 minutes of Darth Vader in the hallway, take that, give me that, put that at the beginning of A New Hope. That's all you need. This entire movie was completely pointless. It was an attempt at fan service to be like, here's how they got the Death Star plans. It was a throwaway line in A New Hope where they said a lot of people died bringing us these plans. stupid. We did not need a movie where everybody dies bringing us these plans. Well, Hayden, you just don't like the film because everybody dies. No, it was senseless. Let me tell you why. All right? Number one, K2SO put himself into another robot numerous times. Why not put yourself into another robot and go get the ship? You can control two of you at the same time. Go get the ship, fly it down, be ready for everybody and yourself to get the hell out of there. Stupid, idiotic plot holes. Again, it was a throwaway line in the first original Star Wars film that they were like, let's make a movie about it. How'd they get the plans? We know how they got the plans. People died bringing it to them. We see Leia, put it in R2. It's all we need. Number two, this guy has been trying to kill Jin's father the whole movie. The whole thing that the thing that he wants is to kill her father to end all this. He hates her, and they make out at the end. Stupid. Well, if you're about to die, I'd want to make out with somebody too. Shut up. You weren't in that situation. You don't know what you'd do. That was dumb. It's dumb writing on their part. Number three, this is a Pompeii reskin. Tell me it's not. I will fight you to the death. This is a Pompeii reskin. Watch Pompeii. Watch this trash movie, and I promise you it's a reskin of Pompeii, just a Star Wars reskin. Awful. It's trash. It's garbage. We did not need this. Number four, I was told this is going to be like Saving Private Ryan, but Star Wars. That's badass. You know what's not badass? This film. This film sucks. Also, there was a better story to be told about how the rebellion got formed by using the character of Galen Merrick. We probably can't even use that character anymore because, I don't know, Sam Witwer's kind of getting up there in age. He's not as young as he once was. And then your fan service for Galen Merrick is, hey, guess what? Her dad's name is Galen Erso. Am I right? And also, he calls her Stardust. But the plans start killer base, you know, for the seventh movie. I don't care. Shut up. Give me Galen Merrick. You want to know who Galen Merrick is? Oh, cool. I'll tell you. His name's Starkiller. You know, the secret apprentice of Darth Vader, who actually got all of the major leaders of the rebellion together to form the rebellion. You see, Vader had a secret apprentice that he sent out to gather all the Emperor's enemies. He was going to kill them all and be like, hey, look, I got a new apprentice. And I just took out all your enemies. Now I don't have any enemies because yours are gone. You're my enemy. And he and I are going to kill you, overthrow you, and we're going to lead this freaking galaxy. I'm getting furious. And then what happens is he's sitting there and he realizes what a piece of garbage Darth Vader is and Palpatine and how he's just using them. He kills him twice and brings him back to life to be like, I reconstructed your body. I was just kidding. And so Galen Merrick gets all these rebels together, all these leaders of the rebellion together to rebel against Darth Vader. And you know what? They get captured, but he saves them, dies in the process after saving them. And they sit there and they think to themselves, we really need a symbol of hope. What should our symbol of hope be? And you know what Mon Mothma does? She says it should be a strong symbol. And you know what Leia says? It should be a symbol of the one who saved us. The Galen Merrick family crest. And that is the symbol of the rebellion. That's why they use that Phoenix rising out of the ashes. Not because of Phoenix Squad and Star Wars Rebels, as much as I love that. But they use the Galen Merrick family crest. That is what has should that that's the movie we should have gotten. But instead, we get the stupid, crappy movie that was based on a throwaway line that has crap all for action, where the story is just stupid. A guy's trying to kill you and your father the whole time. You're just gonna make out with him at the end. Also, plot hole here, you're sitting there like, hey, K2SO, we're gonna show you strictly put yourself into other robots, and there can be two of you at once because, you know, you're like an Ultron. You can be anywhere and everywhere at the same time through the interwebs. Put yourself into a second one. The first one of you can die while you're sacrificing yourself, quotes, to protect them to get into here, while the other one of you is going to get in the ship and taking them out. I know I've already said this, but it infuriates me that they all could have got out of there. Also, in the trailer, she faces off, allegedly, with one blaster pistol in hand against a TIE fighter, and we don't get that in the film. Also, you're going to sit there and try to win me over with fan service by bringing Saul Guerrera into this? Screw you, too. And then you kill him? Yeah, whatever. This movie's trash. It's garbage. It's a Pompeii reskin. I hate it. I hate it. This movie was unnecessary. It is the worst piece of trash I've ever seen. The first trailer I ever saw for this film, I was like, this is going to be radical. Everybody's saying, hey, this is going to be Saving Private Ryan, but Star Wars. That's what all the media outlets were saying. That's what everybody and everyone, it was anyone, was saying. Saving Private Ryan, but Star Wars. I would kill to see that. But we got a trash Pompeii knockoff. I hate it. I'm done. Peace out. Also, I'm breathing now. Nathan, you ready to go on your rant?
I believe so, sir. And I just want you to know, I don't know if I could have put Rogue One's disappointing factors more beautifully than you just did, my good sir.
I gotta drink some water now. It's also midnight. You've got work tomorrow.
I do have to work tomorrow. It's okay. It's okay. I'm prepared. I'm gonna do this. We're gonna get it out of there. Hey, by the way, before I forget, I just want to let everybody know that Mainlining Movies has moved to the big leagues. Yes, that's right. Not only are we on Facebook, just if you want to go check us out on Facebook, it is facebook.com/mainliningmovies. But Mainlining Movies is now on Twitter. So come check us out. It's at Mainlining Movie. It wouldn't let me put the S on the end. It's too long, apparently. So it's at Mainlining Movie. But come check us out on Twitter. Let us know if there's a movie that subverted your expectations. And we'll be glad to respond to you. And just give us a shout out one way or the other. Let us know how we're doing. Just we want to hear from you guys. So if you get a chance, go check us out on Twitter. Anyway, that's my plug. Go ahead. Introduce the movie so I can go on my rant.
All right. Side tangent, The Mist. But also, here's the movie that we are introducing. I am introducing for Nathan to go on his rant for. I had to drink a lot of water for this because I was very parched after my Rogue One rant.
Is there are two movies that I will ruin the ending to and Remember Me, and the other one is The Mist. Now, I'm not going to talk about The Mist. Just know that I will ruin the ending for you if you ever... We'll probably talk about it whenever we get to movies with horrible endings. But Remember Me. So the premise of the movie, Robert Pattinson, he's a broken kid. He's got this, you know, this life is just completely against him. His parents are split up. His brother committed suicide. Everything's just going wrong for him until it doesn't. And he meets this girl, falls in love. Like they spend all this beautiful time together. You realize that, you know, he's fallen in love with this girl. This life is turning around for him. I have never in my entire life rooted for a character as much as I did for Robert Pattinson's character in Remember Me. And I'm not a Robert Pattinson fan by any stretch of the imagination. Not a Twilight fan. I'm not, you know, that kind of guy. But Robert Pattinson is amazing in this movie. Now, the reason this movie belongs on this list for movies that subverted our expectations is the ending of this movie. The last 5 minutes or so, if that, maybe like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's like the last like two. I think it's the last like 2 minutes.
I have never in my entire life been so angry at the ending of a movie. I actually yelled. I watched it when it had already come out on DVD by the time I had seen it. I actually yelled at my TV. I was so angry. So the end of the movie, like I said, you know, this guy has just been through so much trauma, and you're rooting for him so hard. And I'm keeping this calm to how I normally do it, because I don't want to yell into my microphone and hurt your guys' ears. But at the very end of the movie, you see that he goes to meet his dad. His dad is played by Pierce Brosnan. And you realize that like life is finally back on track for him. He's mending the relationship with his father. And he goes to see his father. It pans to a different scene, shows his sister sitting in a classroom, and you're like, okay, this is good. It's going to have a happy ending. No, wrong. There are no happy endings in this movie. The sister's sitting in class, and she looks up, and on the chalkboard, the teacher is writing the date, September 11th, 2001. Now, for anybody who was born before the year 2000, you will understand why that date is so significant. If you, even if you were born after September 11th, 2001, you will understand why that date is so significant. So we pan back to Robert Pattinson. And all you see is him looking out the window. And you see the shadow of a plane heading towards the building. Are you absolutely kidding me? Oh my God. Like, I have never been so furious in all of my life. You get this kid, you're rooting for him. All you want is the best for him. You want the best for his family. You want him to fall, you know, to, you want this love story to blossom. You want to imagine that they live happily ever after. There is zero, and I do mean zero, inclination that this movie has anything to do with the attacks on the Twin Towers in September of 2001. And all of a sudden, he's killed by some freaking terrorists. Like, are you kidding me? Like, for what purpose did this happen? There's zero reason. It's not like, you know, he was a member of the CIA and he had to fight some terrorists and, you know, he killed the terrorist brother, whatever. There is zero reason that he had to die at the hands of... Why couldn't this movie just have a happy ending? Why? There was zero reason that this movie had to end on September 11th, 2001. Oh,
I mean, you're right. There's zero reason.
Oh, my gosh. And I, when I say I yelled at my TV, ladies and gentlemen, I mean that I, like, literally yelled at my TV. I was so angry, I almost threw something through it. Like, I have never in my entire life, even The Mist, as bad as The Mist is and as bad as the ending is, I wasn't as angry as I was for Remember Me. Because quite honestly, The Mist, it's got a lot of bad parts to it. I didn't care.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I cared, but I didn't really care.
He cares enough to be mad about it. But
I cared enough to be mad about it because it's horrible. And I guess had I read the book, The Mist. I'm not trying to talk about The Mist, but had I read the book, I would have known it was going to end it that way and probably would have never watched the movie. But Remember Me, like, there was nothing. No warning signs, no nothing. They killed this kid who had his entire life, and I get that, you know, hey, that's real life or whatever. I don't want real life in a movie. Unless I'm watching a documentary or something that's based on a true story, I do not want real life in a movie. Okay? I get it. Sometimes the guy doesn't get the girl. Sometimes people break up. Sometimes people die. I don't necessarily want that in a movie. I want, especially in a movie like this, I want happy endings. I want, you know, I don't know, butterflies and rainbows. I don't know what I want, but I don't want Robert Pattinson's character to be killed by some freaking terrorist on September 11th, 2001, because he's standing in one of the Twin Towers. That's the end of my rant. I kept it mild for the podcast. I've gone way further. I've gone way louder. Hayden knows this.
Yeah, we've gotten in trouble working for him.
I have been, typically when I talk about this, and I'm sure my face is right now, but typically, like, my blood pressure rises, my face turns. I guess part of the reason I'm staying so calm is because I'm just talking about this with Hayden and with you guys, and I can't actually see your face. So, like, when I tell people about this movie in person and I have to explain it to them, like, I get angrier. It's a little bit different when I'm sitting here in front of a microphone and just talking in the microphone and I can't see you guys. If I could see you right now, trust me, I'd probably be way more worked up. Anyway, that's the end of my rant. I kept it mild. I hope I didn't go too loud. I hope I didn't hurt your ears. I hope you didn't stop listening.
I get the good.
Now I'm all worked up, and I got to get ready for bed, and I got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, today.
Today, it's after midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you do this to me, Hayden? Why do you
I'm sorry. We should have chosen an earlier time slot.
Well, you know, life gets in the way. See, we don't get to do this full time as much as we would love to. We don't get to
we
do
need
this
more
full
of
time.
You guys.
We need more, more of you guys so we can do
friends,
this full time.
More of your family members. More of your dogs and your cats.
But until then, I still have to, you know, live life and mow yards and change diapers and
even if
this was full time, I'd still have to mow yards and change diapers. Cause that's just, you know.
Like Frank Sinatra once said, that's life.
That's life. That's right. We'll end it on a positive thing.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra.
Frank's it well, he was
Don't run it for me. Don't run it for me.
Right. Dean Martin.
Dean Martin.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
That's right. That's right.
Well, anyway. I think that's going to conclude it for us this week, everybody. And we'll see you next week with a very special episode of Mainlining Movies. Just as every episode is special, just as you are special. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to like our pages on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Shout us out. Comment. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your dog, tell your cat, tell your grandma, tell your grandfather. Mainlining Movie on Twitter, Mainlining Movies on Facebook. And until next time, Excelsior.